Our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, please. Daniel, chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'll just like to say my thanks to Harold for inviting me to speak this evening, and thank you to all those that are present, either in person or on Zoom, for being here to listen to me. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And we'll pause there for a moment. Time. Just want to bring in a couple of quick things here. I wanted to emphasize at the beginning of the chapter here Nebuchadnezzar's attitude towards God. And you'll see in verse 2 that he calls God the high God.
Amen.
And then in verse 3, he says, and we'll just read it all again, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And Nebuchadnezzar, who 2 chapters previous was told that he was the greatest of all the human kings, the king of kings of humans, of men, that's a statement that would invoke pride in me. If I had been told that, I would be quite proud of that statement. We'll see here at this point when he's writing this letter, he acknowledges that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that lasts from generation to generation, and he is acknowledging that God is greater than him.
Amen.
We'll continue at verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Excuse me. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the beasts, and setteth and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And we'll pause there. I want to pull a couple of things out of this. Firstly, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it troubled him. So he called for his wise men, his studied men, his practitioners of various, well, magicians and astrologers, people that tried to pull meaning from looking at the stars, and people that tried to pull meaning from, well, probably every method under the sun, except for the right one, which was asking God. As they weren't asking God, and the vision was from God, they had no idea what it meant. So I just want to focus on that. So he calls them first. They don't give him an answer. Then he calls Daniel, which I find interesting. Because last time he had a dream that troubled him, Daniel was the one that gave him the interpretation. I would have called Daniel first. It would have made more sense to me. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't, which I find is a typical attitude of most people, is we try and find every method that we can to find peace, solve a problem, have happiness in life. We try everything but the tried and true method that actually works in going to God. And then eventually we end up at God. But instead of going straight to God, we do the long, complicated road that goes, it takes a lot longer and doesn't provide anything but misery and stress. So I find it's an interesting that Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest of the human kings, also has that flaw. And then we're going to skip down a few verses. And one other thing I like to point out here is the tree that is the picture of Nebuchadnezzar was a massive tree. And it covered, and it was visible on the whole earth. And yet, above the tree was heaven. And in heaven was God. And in verse 17, this is one of the key points I want to bring out today. In verse 17, and we'll read it again. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. And I've been thinking on and off the last few months about authority. And, how to respond to authority, various different levels of authority. And then this morning when I was at work, the phrase, power corrupts, an absolute power corrupts absolutely, popped into my head. It's an interesting phrase, because the second half of that, absolute power corrupts absolutely, is incorrect, because only God has absolute power, and God is incorruptible.
Amen.
However,
Amen.
If we just focus on humanity, it makes a lot of sense, because it's pointing out that because of sin, the more power people have, the more corrupt they get, the more proud they get, the more abuse of their power they get in general. And there are a few reasons for that. And Nebuchadnezzar is an example of that. And in verse 17, after having the tree cut off just above the stump and all of his greatness gone and being made to live as a beast of the field for 7 years, it is done that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, meaning that God rules in the kingdom of men, and Nebuchadnezzar, being the great King of Kings, everybody would have heard of this. Everybody would have heard of it. It's not every day that the greatest king on the face of the earth turns into essentially a cow. That's not something that happens every day. That news would have got around to everybody. Now we're going to keep reading in verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And then we'll just skip down because he's just going to. We'll skip down to verse 22. It is thou, speaking of the tree, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Again, emphasizing that he was the greatest king of his day and the greatest king, human king, of all time at that point. And then verse 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. What this verse 25, the last verse there, tells me is that Nebuchadnezzar did not know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he was not acknowledging his place in the hierarchy, and not acknowledging that if God didn't want him to be king, he wouldn't be king. And if God decided to take it away from him, there was nothing he could do about it. He was not right with God. And we're just going to skip down to verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You'll notice in that verse, he refers to himself 3 times. This is what I did with my power for my generation and my majesty. And not once does he acknowledge God. Carrying on in verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles' feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. So here we see that God keeps his word. He says he's going to do it, he does it. And he doesn't do a half measure. He doesn't do a weird interpretation of it. There's no subtlety. When he says he's going to do it, he does it. He said he was going to drive him to out from his kingdom, and he was going to make him eat grass like the beast of the field, and he did. Verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truly, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And we see here that at the end of the seven years, he lifted his eyes up to heaven. His understanding, his mind was returned to him. And the first thing he does is he blessed the Most High and praised and honored him forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He finally recognized who God was and his place in God's plan, and then his kingdom was restored unto him as God had said. Now, going back to the topic of authority and power corrupting. So Nebuchadnezzar in here is a very good example of pride coming before fall. And he had a very hard fall, but he had a second chance at the end of it. And he took the second chance. And I find it interesting that that he did. And there's three examples in the book of Daniel that I'm going to pull out. I might not get to them all tonight, but that I would pull out to deal with power corrupting and authority being wielded incorrectly. The second one, so the first example here, we have Nebuchadnezzar, pride, putting himself before God. I did this, I did that, this is all me. No recognition that it's because God let him do it and God wanted him in that spot, and that God is the ultimate authority, and you are to, and once you acknowledge God as the ultimate authority, everything else falls into place. But when you put yourself in that role, your pride. Now, in Daniel chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 1, and we'll read the first four verses. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And actually, we'll read verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And we'll pause there. So Nebuchadnezzar was pride. Belshazzar is also pride, because he's throwing a big feast for 1,000 people. Actually, 1,000 plus people, because there's 1,000 lords, and they have wives and concubines. So it was several thousand people, big feast. So the first thing, there's pride there. The pride also comes in. He commands the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, gold, silver, precious vessels, which were dedicated to God, and were for specific use in the temple, for very specific things, not a drunken feast of Babylonian kings. So we've got several things here. He was pride. There's blasphemy in this, because you're using God's dedicated objects for your own devices, right? And there's another thing that Belshazzar has done here. And we find it down in, where is it? I didn't write the verse down. Verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. And all of this is what we just read in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel is recounting what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and he knew it. So Belshazzar knew this. He had the example, and he ignored the example. He disregarded it. He said, I'm better than that. I don't need it. And if we keep going, verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all the ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And we'll pause there. So you see here, Belshazzar was blaspheming. He was using God's, or the vessels that were dedicated and sanctified for God's use in the temple for his own goods. And then he was praising his false gods, which were just lumps of metal and wood and stone. And he was ignoring the God in whose hand his breath is, who could do that and he would drop dead. And he was not. He didn't acknowledge him. He wasn't glorifying him. He ignored the example of Nebuchadnezzar, who was his grandfather, and was sinning. So there's a second example, and he doesn't get a second chance. We will just skip down. Actually, no, we'll just read the whole thing from verse 25. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, or 62. So Belshazzar, he didn't get a second chance. Within a few hours of that writing being interpreted to him, he was dead. Also, it's a serious statement. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. That's not a good statement. That's Nebuchadnezzar had pride, but then he repented from his pride and followed God, and he was this great king, and he had this great kingdom, and you have caused it to be ended. That's a hard statement. That is a very hard statement. That's a second example of authority being wielded poorly, let's say. The third example is a slightly different example. It's in Daniel chapter 6, and we will just read the first, I'm going to say, five verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And we'll pause there. So we see the first two examples, the figure that was wielding the authority was the king. who was, for all intents and purposes, the ultimate authority in the kingdom as far as a human standpoint goes, right? In this example, we have, in modern terms, it would be government ministers, high-level government functionaries, people who work for the king, but directly under the king. Right? And they are jealous and covetous and probably annoyed with Daniel because he was preferred above all of them because he followed God and he did his job properly. And he probably stopped them from doing all sorts of things that they wanted to do that was not what they were supposed to be doing. But I don't know that for a fact. It's not stated. It is somewhat implied, but it is not stated for a fact. So they're jealous, and they want his position, and they want to find a way to get rid of him. But they can't find a way according to their own laws, because he hasn't broken any of their laws. So, just for sake of time, as I believe most of us will know, so what they did is they made a law that they knew Daniel would break, deliberately break. And that law was that it's in verse 7, the second half of verse 7. And to make that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So here's an interesting thing. So they deliberately made a law that they knew Daniel would break because the only thing they could think of was something concerning Daniel's God. So they make the law. And here's the thing. This is another thing about authority, right? So they're trying to use their earthly authority to get rid of Daniel because they want his position. And in doing to do that, they try and make earthly authority more than God's authority. So what does Daniel do? In verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel, recognizing that God's authority is greater than the authority of Darius the Mede and is greater than the authority of these 120 princes and the other two presidents and any of their various underlings that were involved in this, recognize that the God's authority is greater. So he follows God and he prays. Now, of course, they catch him, and then when the king finds out, the king's not happy about it because the king liked Daniel, but the king didn't have a choice because of his own laws. So they put Daniel into the lion's den, and when they were doing it, the king said to Daniel in verse 16, I like this. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It's an interesting statement from the king, because it indicates that he knew, one, that Daniel served God, and two, that God had power to deliver Daniel. Which indicates to me that the king had some knowledge, if not total knowledge, of his place in the hierarchy, and recognizing that Daniel's God was greater than him, and greater than his laws, and greater than his servants and princes and presidents, because they've done everything they can to kill Daniel, and yet he says that thy God, whom thou servest continually, will deliver thee. And we'll just skip down to verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And we'll just skip down to verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. And then we'll just finish the chapter. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And we'll stop there. And we see here that the people that were jealous and tried to make man's laws more powerful than God's laws died very painfully. So what we've got here, we've had three examples of people that have been in various positions of authority, high authority, and they were not using it correctly. And the reason they were not using it correctly was because they were all about themselves. I, me, I. There was no acknowledgement of God. There was no worshiping of God. There was no praising of God. There was no, yes, no acknowledgement of God. It was all about me. I am the most important. I did this. I did that. I want that. I need that. There was no acknowledgement that God's kingdom lasts forever. And God puts people in the place that he wants them to be in. And when they are no longer needed in that position, he removes them from that position and puts them somewhere else. And that somewhere else might be death. Right? But there is also through this one example of a man that had massive amounts of authority who exercised it properly. And that is Daniel. And you'll notice, we're not going to read it for sake of time. But in chapter 1 of Daniel, when he is a captive and then sent to university or school under the king's authority, he refused to eat the meat and drink the wine that had been sacrificed to false gods. So he stayed true to the Lord there. And he didn't want to defile himself, and he also trusted that God would take care of them in eating vegetables and drinking water, and God did. And then in chapter 2, when Daniel is working in the what I've did called the Department of Wise Men, but he was not the head of the Department of Wise Men at that point, he was just working in it. When Nebuchadnezzar has his first dream, the dream of the statue, when he declares that he's going to kill all of the wise men because they can't tell him his dream and interpret it, Daniel gets the interpretation. But Daniel, the first thing he does is he goes through the proper channels, he talks to the king's steward, the king's steward takes him to see the king, and he says, I will give me time and I'll come with the solution. And then he immediately goes and he gets his friends and they go pray. And then God gives him the vision and the interpretation. And immediately he's worshiping God and thanking God for giving it to him. You'll see there, and then when he gives the king the interpretation, it is not that he was just the vessel. He said the interpretation, the vision and the interpretation came from God, and he was just the delivery system, let's say the messenger, right? It was not in him to interpret it. It was in God to interpret it. And then in chapter four, as we've already read this evening, he was the head of the wise men at that point. And again, he didn't interpret it. God gave him the interpretation of the vision. And then in chapter 5, I'm not sure what his exact position was, but I know he was not in as much favor as he was under Nebuchadnezzar, under Belshazzar. But he still interpreted the writing with the message from God. But again, it was not him. He was the messenger again. And then in chapter 6, he ends up over the entire kingdom, underneath the king, all because, well, most importantly because he worshiped God, and then he did his job how he was supposed to do his job, and that was it. There was no angling for promotions, there was no pride, it was just, this is my job, I'm going to do it. We worship God, trust that God's going to keep his word. And when Daniel believed that when God said he was going to do something, he was going to do it. And so if that's the case, you leave that with God and let him take care of it, and you just focus on what you've got to focus on. And in closing, I just want to turn to Joshua chapter 24. Because in the timeline, this happened before Daniel was born. And I wonder if in Daniel's mind, he was thinking of this or something similar to this. So Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So in closing, my question to you is, who will you serve? And I'll just close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity we have to meet here like this freely, Lord. I thank you for everyone that was in attendance, either in person or on Zoom, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if I said anything that was not of you, Lord, that it be stricken from people's minds, Lord. And then I pray as well, Lord, that you will bring all of us safely to our homes this evening. In the precious and holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.